This is the third mass I've preached at throughout this weekend. Last night at St. Anne's in Sayville, this morning in Mastic Beach, and now here. And I'm still stuck on a beginning. It's been a difficult week. Once again, our sense of security and safety has been shattered because of a young man who, for reasons known only to him, other than outside of racism, of hatred for a group of people, went in and killed 9 of our sisters and brothers in Christ. And what makes it even more difficult for me is that he allegedly sat with them for an hour in a Bible study before he did this. And he has apparently told the police he almost didn't do it because the people were so nice to him. Now, I'd like to say this is the unthinkable, but sadly, it doesn't seem to be the unthinkable anymore. We keep hearing about especially young white men who, you know, whether it was in Colorado and Newtown, Connecticut and other places, who for one reason or another, somehow hate-based, has gone in and killed groups of strangers to make a point, I guess. And at times it's hard, you know, it's just hard to imagine this. And it feels like those in our gospel today, those early disciples, those apostles who are being tossed back and forth in a storm. And we are at this time in the midst of this horrible storm in our greater world around us, where people are acting out and like those early disciples who are sitting in the boat, who as the waves are starting to swamp and overturn, are yelling at Jesus, "Don't you care?" And in some ways, I think some of us at times find ourselves yelling that same thing at God or at Jesus, "Don't you care?" But as we see today in all of our readings, God does care and God is with us. In the second verse of our psalm this morning, verse 10, it tells us, "Those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you never forsake those who seek you, O Lord." You know, this idea of faith that we're there from the very beginning, like David in our first reading, who maybe it looked like he was just arrogant youth, but who put all of his faith in God to accomplish the impossible, to meet up with a great evil, not only to vanquish it, but in doing so, the glory of God is made known. We hear about in our letter, the second letter from the Corinthians, our epistle reading today, where Paul is telling the people of all the great adversity and all the problems and all the struggles that he and the others have gone through. Yet, through Christ, have continued to proclaim the good news in spite of that. And then we get to our gospel this morning. As I said earlier, they're in the midst of a storm, and their boat's being swamped. They're afraid for their life. You know, and these aren't just, you know, these aren't people who are just, as my grandfather would refer to as nervous Nellies. These are fishermen. These are people who know this water. And they know if they're panicking, you know it's got to be bad. And we are told that they finally yell out to Christ, as I said earlier, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" Now, have you noticed that the disciples, even though they've been with Jesus, they talk about Jesus being the Messiah, they've listened to his teaching, they've watched him cure people, heal the lame, cast out demons. But instead of calling out for Jesus right away in faith, they wait until they get desperate. Instead of calling on Jesus at the very beginning, they wait until things look their worst. And I think to myself, how often do we do that in our own lives? Instead of trusting in God from the very beginning, instead of putting our faith in Christ and asking Christ to be with us from the very beginning, we wait until we are also in a desperate strait. And instead of calling on Christ to help, we say, "Don't you care?" But as Christ makes it clear today, he does care. And he also shows us that it's never too late to call on him. It's never too early, but it's never too late. And that Christ will be with us. God is with us. Now, as I said, we are in some very trying times right now. We look around and we watch the television, we see the newspaper, sometimes we even see it outside of us where people are struggling. Our communities are in turmoil. And it would be very easy to hide. I mean, just think, if David was smart, he'd been running back out to the wilderness to watch his dad's sheep and forgot about the whole war. If Paul was using common sense, instead of spending his, the majority of his life walking all over the world, going through all sorts of, struggles, he could have probably very easily lived a good life back in Tarsus. But they had faith, and they realized that the importance of faith has to be followed up by action. In the boat, even though Jesus calmed the storm, the disciples still had to continue to move the boat ahead. And that's what's going on here today. Even though we have faith that Christ will guide us, will see us through this storm, we need to continue to do the work we've been called to do, to pray, to seek reconciliation, to be a sanctuary and a place of love, and to reach out to our sisters and brothers. Our sisters and brothers at Mother Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, where the shooting took place. I don't think anybody would blame them if they shut their doors. But they are continuing to have church today, just as they had through other times of controversy. You know, this is probably one of the worst, but you know, this is an African-American church in the South who has had a lot of struggles with civil rights. This is not the first time they've had to struggle forward. And like them, we too will continue to move on, because we'll be here each Sunday. We'll be here other days. We'll be here so people know that they have a place to come to, that they have people who are praying for them, and a place where they can always find the love of Christ.